What is the sound of Motown? Is it Martha Reeves? Hits from the Supremes? Or the Four Tops? Marvin Gaye. You can't not talk about Marvin Gaye. Or maybe the Isley Brothers. All of these songs that you've just heard, they all came from the creative partnership of Holland Dozier Holland, the songwriting and production team at the center of just so much Motown genius. When we talk about Berry Gordy's powerhouse of production, we cannot overlook these makers of music. The trio is in the Songwriters Hall of Fame for playing such a huge role in Motown's success and for their role in the dominance of black music on pop radio. The Holland brothers, Brian and Eddie, are still alive, but Lamont Dozier, the third member of the team, died earlier this week. Ann DeLisi hosts Essential Music on WDET. She's going to join us to remember and reflect on the life of a Motown icon today. The Holland Dozier Holland songs have become so deeply baked into the American consciousness, it's easy to forget what a musical explosion they set off in their times. Ann's here to break down their story and what we owe them in music history.
You know, like so many artists at Motown, he wanted to be an artist, and some went on to do other things. They became producers or songwriters, and that really was where he found his place at Motown, was as a songwriter and producer. And of course, you know, he became part of Holland Dozier Holland. And it's interesting how there was so much talent, and fascinating to this day that there was so much talent there, and that these folks worked so hard, you know, at what they did. And once they got into that space, it was pretty magical.
The trio was interviewed by Terry Gross on Fresh Air back in 2003. You can get a sense of what it was like for Dozier to work with the Holland brothers.
Like I said, Brian and I got into an argument. He and I argued a lot. Lamont sort of looked and eased his way out. He was always very smart not to get involved.
Two brothers arguing out.
You know, he just say, "Hey, whoever wins, I'm on your side." You know, he's a real politician.
You know, Lamont Dozier talked about how they used to go in at 9 o'clock in the morning and work until 3 o'clock in the morning the next day, basically. And
factory job.
And that's how they looked at it. And they just worked and worked and worked. And, you know, they didn't have the technology that we have today. You know, they had to record things and write them down and just work tirelessly until they got it right. And then, of course, everything that they wrote was brought to fruition by way of like the Supremes and Marvin Gaye and Smokey Robinson. And then, of course, the famous Funk Brothers, who just made it all sound so amazing. And so, you know, to be a part of that, I hate to say the word machine, but that is kind of how it was. It was an assembly line. That's what Berry Gordy thought of it as. That's how he modeled Motown, was after the assembly line. And they learned to work in that space so brilliantly. And if you think about the fact that the Supremes couldn't get a hit, they were called the no-hit Supremes, if you can even imagine there was such a time. You think about like all the hit records, and it was Holland Dozier Holland that made that happen. You know, Smokey Robinson had been writing songs for them, and it just never really worked. And then all of a sudden, Where Did Our Love Go was the first single to go to number one for the Supremes. And then Holland Dozier Holland were responsible for 10 of 12 number one hit songs for the Supremes after that.
Here's a little more from Lamont Dozier's conversation on Fresh Air. He talked about the beginning of Holland Dozier Holland's relationship with the Supremes.
Oh yeah, this is Lamont speaking, right? case in point, I think we first started recording them of any consequence. We had a big hit or a top 20 hit when the love light starts shining in his eyes, which did okay, but they became our group, so to speak, when we came up with Where'd Our Love Go? And Where'd Our Love Go was something that just by accident happened, that could have been just as well for the Marvelettes or people like that. But because it was a big hit on the Supremes, in this particular case, the song was so big that Barry came in and said, hey, we got to follow this up. And that's when we started doing more baby stuff, baby love, baby this, baby that.
It's remarkable, even by today's standards, that they were able to write that many hit songs for one band. And then, you know, you go on to the Four Tops. Like, a lot of times, you know, we talk about the Supremes because that was so phenomenal. But, you know, they wrote Baby, I Need Your Lovin', I Can't Help Myself, it's the same old song, Reach Out, I'll Be There, Standing in the Shadows of Love, Bernadette, which makes me want to change my name to Bernadette every time I hear it.
Yes.
Those songs were all, you know, all written by Holland Dozier Holland. And not only were they songwriters, but they were producers for many of these songs. Like, they had such a vision that they were able to not only write the song for this artist or these artists, but they were able to produce them as well. And that's what we ended up hearing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the fact that he did, you know, he did want to be an artist and he did record records on his own. He's not best known for the songs that he recorded, but looking at his catalog, there is a lot of really great, funky, soulful stuff there. Do you have any favorites?
I don't have any favorites. I mean, when I listen to his music, when it feels like Motown to me, but you know, early on, before he was with Motown, he recorded for other Detroit labels. Like, he was already an artist before his luck changed.
Lamont Dozier recorded a few songs under the name Lamont Anthony. Here's one called I Didn't Know What a Good Thing I Had. It's from 1961.
I didn't know her. I didn't know. I didn't know her. I didn't know. I didn't know her. What a good, good.
Then in 1962, it's when he, you know, hooked up with Brian and Eddie Holland, and that's when his Motown life started. But he had a life as a musician before that, and then later on, he would go on, after they disbanded, he would actually go on and write again for other people. But then he started, you know, really got his solo career going, and that came way later in his career, but it still happened, which is so incredible that after all those years, you know, and wanting to be an artist initially, that he would have found his space to be an artist later in his life.
You might be more familiar with Trying to Hold On to My Woman, which Lamont Dozier recorded in the post-Holland Dozier Holland era. This song got to number 19 on the U.S. pop charts and number 4 on the R&B charts in 1974.
I'm just trying to hold on to my woman, to my life. I'm just trying to hold on to my life.
How would you describe the arc of his career after he left Detroit?
Well, it was difficult. You know, that the lawsuit between Motown and, you know, Holland Dozier Holland went on for 10 years. And, you know, they went on to start their own label. There were disputes over royalties and what have you. And Berry Gordy, or Motown, sued Holland Dozier Holland. They countersued. And like I said, this went on for 10 years. And so during that time, they were all very challenged because it's not like they could write under their own names. You know, I think they used assumed names when they could. They started their own labels, Invictus Records and Hot Wax Records. And it made it really difficult for them to achieve the same kind of success that they had at Motown. And I can only imagine what going through a lawsuit and hampering your creativity would do to artists for that long of a period of time. And then eventually there were more lawsuits, and that is when Lamont Dozier left Holland Dozier Holland. You know, that's when he went out on his own. So, you know, it can be a messy business. And so you're very keenly aware that there's the business side of it, there's the creative side of it, and those two have to meet up somewhere. And sometimes it can be very messy business, and that's exactly what happened, unfortunately, for Holland, Doja Holland, because they were brilliant writers and producers together, but under the strain of all that, they really couldn't achieve the same success they had at Motown.
Yeah. Well, let's turn that around a little bit. How do you think Motown would have been different without the stamp that Lamont and the Holland brothers put on their work?
Well, to the point of the Supremes, would they have ever gotten a hit song? Would anybody else have written the songs that were perfect for them? It's hard to know, but had they not recorded the songs written by Holland, Dozier Holland, I don't know that we'd be talking about the Supremes today. Same for the Four
That's
Tops.
Crazy.
You know, yeah, I know. It's crazy to think about it. And same for the Four Tops. You know, we forget that Holland, Dozier Holland put their stamp on all of those big songs that they had. And so, you know, they also worked with Marvin Gaye. You know, we kind of forget that too. They wrote How Sweet It Is, Can I Get a Witness, You're a Wonderful One. They wrote This Old Heart of Mine for the Isley Brothers. And then, of course, those hits for Martha and the Vandellas. So you kind of think about taking all of those hits out of, you know, the Motown canon, and there's a hole there, significant hole, not just from, you know, the entire catalog of songs from Motown, but those artists in particular, what would their careers have been like? It's hard to know, but it's hard to not think that their careers wouldn't have been what they were without Holland, Dozier Holland.
One of the last Holland, Dozier Holland songs to hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart was The Happening by the Supremes. Just listen to the depths in these lyrics. You can hear Lamont, Dozier and the Holland brothers hitting some new gears late in their Motown run.
Hey life, look at me, I can see the
With that, we need to take a short break. More in just a minute.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
What do you think about when you think about Lamont Dozier's legacy and sort of his piece in the creative architecture that Holland, Dozier Holland made? What do we know about his work in the group?
Well, because we know so many of his songs that he touched, you know, they're in our collective consciousness, if you will, and we will forever know those songs, those bass lines, the things, the ideas that he had. He referred to himself as the idea man when it came to writing songs for Holland, Dozier Holland. And the fact that all of these different artists interpreted his work, it's basically what it was. You know, he helped write these songs. They would interpret the songs that were written by him and his songwriting partners. And now we just know these songs. They are hit songs. They are in the Library of Congress. We still hear them in movies. We still hear them pretty much everywhere we go. You know, when you go to Spotify, there's a Motown channel, mm-hmm. You know. So these songs and his imprint on Motown and the artists that recorded his songs cannot be overstated.
Yeah. And to your point about this digital age of music fandom, when you search the obituaries for Lamont Dozier, credit to their SEO, the first thing that comes up is an article from The Guardian. That's a British daily newspaper. It's there are an awful lot of Motown artists who are perhaps most commercially appreciated today in the UK. What can you say a word or two about the role of British fans in keeping Motown alive?
The Northern Soul movement has been alive and well for a long time, and the passion about music that was made here over there blows me away to this day. I mean, the Supremes went overseas. Motown artists went overseas and played to huge crowds before they did in the United States. You know, Dusty Springfield had a big hand, as did the Beatles to a certain extent, because they covered Motown music early on. You know, when Dusty Springfield sort of put her stamp of approval on Motown and the music that was being made here, that made a huge difference to people over there. And then it just got rolling. And that particular part of the world has such an affinity and passion for music that was made, especially here in Detroit. And it just doesn't seem to go away. There are collectors everywhere, especially in the UK, who seek out this music, will pay big dollars for a single that you can't find anywhere. So, you know, we should be lucky. You know, the Detroit A-Go-Go has happened for 3 years, and literally all of these citizens from the UK flew over to Detroit, like 300 of them the first year, just to watch some of these Motown artists perform at Burt's Warehouse in Eastern Market. It was really something. And they were so passionate about being in Detroit, and they went to the Motown Museum. And so that was just a testament. And this is like in the last 5 years. So that music, the music made here in Detroit, is alive and well, certainly in the UK.
Lamont Dozier was 81, and that's a long life. But it is hard coming to grips with so many of our legends from Motown getting older. Do you think that as Michiganders and as fans, we've done a good enough job making sure people got their due and, you know, got to hold on to some piece of their success while they are alive?
That's a tricky question in a way, because what ends up happening is when even an artist, for instance, gets famous and they're still in their hometown, sometimes their hometown, I hate to say takes them for granted, but they've always kind of been part of us. And I think sometimes we get to celebrate those who are part of us. So I think there have been many wonderful efforts to celebrate a lot of these artists and the work that they did. And we have done a pretty good job of celebrating those artists that we know that were quite famous. There are a lot of artists who recorded for Motown and who are part of the fabric of the history of music in this town who don't get recognized, who either just didn't get famous for one reason or another, but put out some phenomenal music. That's, I think, where we could do better, is sort of uncovering those unheard gems, because they are out there. There was so much music being made, it felt like all at one time, but it was over decades. And it's all out there. And now, you know, the internet certainly makes it a lot easier to find who those artists are. You know, my good friend Dan Austin from the Motor City Soul Club, he does a regular appearance on my show every month. And he'll bring in these artists and these songs. I'd never heard of them before. And they were making music right here in Detroit. And so he and I talk a lot about, you know, who we're losing, who we didn't pay enough attention to, who we just didn't know enough about. You know, I always say, you know, we are living in a very interesting time in history when it comes to music. You know, rock and roll started in the late 50s for all intents and purposes, and we've gotten to watch that form of music, whether it be rock or pop, R&B and soul music, all develop over these last few decades. And to be alive, to listen to and watch that has really been something. But now we're watching all of these, you know, the forefathers and foremothers of what we hear today are starting to pass away. It's hard. It's hard to accept. It's hard to watch. But they certainly left us with an awful lot of incredible music to listen to that I believe to be timeless.
One timeless classic that's pretty sure to live on is Lamont Dozier's own Dearest One. You know, he was just about 20 years old when he recorded this, and he had his entire creative run with the Holland Brothers still ahead of him. But as you can hear, even at this age, he's got a great voice, And he's given us a poignant time capsule of what a lot of young people were going through in the 1960s, a wartime love story of separation. And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside episodes for streaming at michiganradio.org. Today's pod episode was produced by Ronia Cavansag. Other producers on our show are Aaron Allen, Mike Blank, Mercedes Mejia, and April Van Buren. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Our theme music is by 14KT, additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening and take care of yourself. We'll see you tomorrow.